Wonderful Resurrection Sunday, and it's been new life for us today. Thank you, Lord. I love this. I absolutely love this. It's been on my heart to do this for a long time, and I just felt released that this is the time to move into this season of merging the prayer and the worship at the beginning of our meetings instead of waiting to the end for praying for everyone, which is, you know, that's kind of like one of those things becomes traditional for church. Wait for the end to pray for everybody. The Lord just told us just to start off right from the beginning. At the beginning of our services, don't wait till 11 o'clock. Start at 10:30. Let the people of God come in to the atmosphere, and we're already in worship and prayer. So that even when visitors come and things like that, they walk into an atmosphere we've already entered in, and they just come into the presence of God. And for me and my wife, they're just the flow. And I love this. I don't know what's going to happen from Sunday to Sunday, and I like that. I like that. Don't know if I'm going to preach. Don't know if we're going to get to the teaching. I really don't care. I'm at a point where I'm desperate for God, and there are things that are happening in all of our lives, in all of our families. I just feel like it's time to just to press into his presence and let him do what he wants to do. Let him have his way in our midst. So come each week. You can pass the word to others. You know, that even though our service starts at, quote, at 11, you know, prayer starts at 10:30, and we just go and let the Lord lead us from, you know, I have my little agenda. Chris has one. Tracy has one. But I don't know if we're going to really follow the agenda other than, because, you know, y'all saw, once those worship videos start playing, and it's so powerful, so awesome, I just don't want to stop, you know? I'm like, okay, all right, we'll just see where this goes this week. Today, since it's Resurrection Sunday, there's a very special video clip that I want to show to you. This is our message for the week. It's 8 minutes, so you can tell everybody that I went to church, and we had an eight-minute message. What y'all do at y'all church on Easter Sunday? We had an 8-minute message, and after the Lord met us in our worship time. And so I just want to flow in this and share this with you. This video is just the essence of what we have with God. And it's called Jesus Loves Barabbas. And I just want to share it with you, and then we're going to pray, and I'll send you home for today. God bless you guys. Those of you who are watching online, it's going to be great. You'll love this. Go right ahead.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah. Give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform
welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, "I owe you everything now, for you have set me free." No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, "It's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas." For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of a heavenly Father.
When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, "I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out." What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? "I'm going to shake myself free." Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell, and the urges of sin will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, "Yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me." How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, "No, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it." Jesus seems to look at me, say, "No, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all." No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. And I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. free man. All the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus is enough. Lord, we still believe the gospel. Even for those of us who are already saved, we still believe the gospel. It takes you, Lord. I can't do it myself. I trust what you did for me. This is the reason why today is not about new clothes and rabbits and dyed eggs. Am I putting people down? No, I'm just saying this is the reason why what I just showed you, that's the reason why we celebrate his resurrection. It's the reason why a few moments ago we partook of the practice that the Lord told us to continue, of eating of the bread and drinking from the cup. Interestingly enough, it was a meal. Sometimes people mistakenly call it the Passover meal, but it wasn't. It was the meal that was partaken the day before the Passover, because the Passover didn't begin until the next day, when the high priest was to slaughter the Passover lamb at exactly 3:00 in the afternoon. So the meal that they were partaking of, it was, we refer to it now as the Lord's Supper. It was taken with a whole loaf, not unleavened bread, but with a whole loaf, bread that had been risen, bread dough that had been risen, because it was to symbolize, it's amazing, it was to symbolize that Jesus was going to rise again. So they didn't use unleavened bread, they used the whole loaf. And they partook of the cup, because the Passover was going to take place the next day, when the high priest slaughters the Passover lamb at 3:00. You know what happened the next day at 3:00? Jesus was on the cross, and at 3:00, you see the Bible says, at the 9th hour, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then within that same hour, he said, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. At 3:00, at the start of the Passover, which is what the whole Passover meal, what God was trying to tell his people for centuries, what it meant, what it was going to mean, that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to be the Passover lamb. And God set it up that exactly at the time when the high priest was to slaughter the Passover lamb, that Jesus, the Passover lamb, would die at that very moment. Come on, give him praise today. My God, thank you, Lord. See, the Passover meal, that's why we partake of the Lord's Supper today. The Passover meal says the Messiah is still to come. But the Lord's Supper says the Messiah has already come. And not only has he come, but he has come alive in me. Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Lord. That's what it's about. So even though, yes, it's all mixed in now in today's world, Easter and Passover, sometimes it coincides with the Easter celebration and partaking of the Lord's Supper and resurrection. It's important that we understand. That's why I'm saying this. Sometimes when people, when preachers teach like this, they're trying to exalt one teaching over another and put down everybody else. That's not my intent, because I know that people are celebrating things in ignorance, and I'm not trying to, you know, cut them down and all that. I just want them to understand that there is a difference between Passover and Easter and resurrection. And we are celebrating the resurrection. Thank you, Lord. And as we just showed you, we was like Barabbas. We were set free. Jesus went to the cross. And now we accept what he has done, the Passover lamb slain for us. Bless the Lord our God. So Lord, we just thank you today for the awesome thing that you have done in our lives. We made the choice. See, that's the only thing about this. There's a teaching going on around the world now that says, since Jesus died on the cross, everybody's already saved and everybody's already included, and there's no need to have to make a decision. But you still must make a decision. You still must decide, I receive Jesus. I receive what was done in my place. He punched a ticket for us to go into new life, but now I must receive it. It's like having somebody buy a precious gift for you, hand it to you, and you don't take it. Well, it paid for it. It's paid for. Wow. What if somebody told you, all you got to do is make a reservation? We got an all-expense vacation paid for you. All you need to do is call and make a reservation. It's paid for. So even though it's yours, you still have to, what, receive it. Aren't you glad you received it today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. We're just so grateful today and thankful to the Lord for what he has done. I want you to have an awesome week this week. Live. Live like we love God. Live like we're grateful for what he has done for us. Live with that understanding that we was the Barabbas that got set free. Live in the newness of life. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. This has been an awesome time today. Go and have a wonderful time with your family, with friends, and we'll see you next week. We're going to continue with our times of worship and praising God and prayer, and let's just see what God does in our midst. Amen.